It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of the SIG Podcast Recruits Draftcast. From the title, you probably could tell, we have Rob Hutson on, father of Lane, to talk about the new contract and what's to come. Grant, I know you're itching to ask. You got a bunch of questions lined up, and so do I. So let's not waste any time and let's get to it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the SIG Podcast. Recruits Draftcast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's going to be sick.
All right, producer Shane here, Grant McCagg as always, and we are thrilled to welcome Mr. Rob Hutson. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and we're very excited about Lane and everything that's going on. So thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time, first and foremost. I mean, you guys are fairly busy, and I think, you know, congratulations are in order for yourself and for Lane. This is a big step, right? Starting the NHL career, I mean, it's earned, right? It's earned. He's worked through it, and he's earned that spot with the Montreal Canadiens. So big congrats to yourself and your family and Lane. But I got to know now, how many people are making the trip to Detroit? Like, you got the tickets secured yet?
Well, we have a fabulous group working for Lane and with Lane to help accommodate tickets. Lane played in Detroit. He had billets. He had friends. He had this and that. So it's a real great, lucky, I guess, thing for people to be able to, you know, take part in this. And there's a lot of people that have helped along the way. So we are extremely thankful to them.
Full circle moment. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. Right. He played in Ann Arbor, right? So
exactly.
I hadn't thought of that. So it's kind of neat that, you know, a place where he played with the U.S. development team is where he'll get to start his NHL career. That's kind of nice.
It's exciting. Very exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. And you know, the funny thing is like, oh, you know, Rob, like, lighten up, like, enjoy the moment a little bit. But you, as a parent, you're, like, juggling so many things. Like, hey, I need another ticket. Hey, guys, we got this person. And, I forgot about them or whatever it is. But, you know, we're navigating through the waters no differently and trying to make it as easy for Lane just to focus on playing hockey.
That's good.
So are you going, you going as a family together? Like, is Lane going with you and
Grant? Absolutely. Wouldn't miss it. Everybody's going to Detroit. We want to be in Montreal also with the greatest hockey fans in the world. So that, like, we're not missing that.
Yeah. Wow. So your season's over then with the kids?
Yeah, with the young guys. Well, hockey down in the States is a little bit different because It's silly season right now. That's what I call it. Like people trying out skating here, skating there. But there's a lot of wiggle room. So it's good.
Okay. Okay. You are at your own rink, I understand, right now. And you just had Lane on the ice for a skate, I heard.
Yeah. I mean, you know, call me old fashioned, but, couple things I just want to touch on because the pro game's a little bit different. Not saying that I have the magic ingredients or anything, but there's I want to make sure that anything dad can do to give him extra help, and some of it he might be saying, yeah, like you don't know what you're talking about anymore.
did you tell him to skate like Matheson or
We'd love to be skating like Mike. Yeah.
That'd be what I'd say. I'd just say, you go out there and you skate like Matheson.
Yeah.
Be all good.
That'll help.
So what, he only played what 35 minutes on Thursday. You figured he needed another skate, did he?
He's a creature of habit. He doesn't like to
skate. Yeah.
He's pretty dialed in. You know, it's really him. I think he was hoping to get a skate in with the team, which I don't think is going to happen, but he'll be able to go through, you know, some plays and some things of that nature. And I mean, it's just exciting.
So when are you departing? Like, are you is he Monday or tomorrow or?
So Lane will meet the team in Detroit tomorrow, and then the rest of us will all come up on Monday, spend the night, and then be in Montreal for Tuesday and Wednesday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think we're going to spend a couple extra days in Montreal. So,
wow.
Yep. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I mean, younger brother Cole is heading to Boston University next year, and you know, was there any consideration this year given to him perhaps waiting another year and playing a year with Cole next year?
I mean, there's always that consideration, but
yeah,
I just think on Lane's journey, I think everybody, it's different for every hockey player, right? Like some guys are ready, some guys aren't, and I mean, I think Lane's had a pretty good college go for the 2 years, and I like the way his brain works, and I don't want to speak on his behalf, but he's always looking to get better, to get better, to get better, and he's going to have a lot to learn in the National Hockey League. I mean, you know, people are right. It's 200 games. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Expectations are this and expectations are that. And I think there's going to be bumps along the way. And those are things that he's had in his career for his whole life. Like, I mean, Michael George from Toronto, Isaiah George's dad, sent me a picture of Lane and Isaiah when they were like 14. And there's this much difference. And like it's almost 2 feet difference in height. And now, you know, it's a couple inches, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, back then they were like, oh, you know, he's going to get killed and this is going to happen. And, you know, we're going to run him out of the rink with the physical play and everything else. Always had the knack to find a way.
Yeah. He doesn't get knocked down very often, does he?
I mean, sometimes he knocks himself down.
Yeah.
like they do it and players are going to do it. And you know, I know stuff is going to happen. I just,
sure.
All you want to make sure is like, hey, hopefully it's not too costly. And hopefully, you know, people are looking at the marathon. They're not looking at the sprint that's happening right now.
There you go.
Yeah. I guess he hasn't had too many injuries in his up till now, has he?
Superstitiously, no, but he's probably had some and he was afraid to tell me or afraid to tell somebody. Just because that, I mean, that's the way he's wired. He's competitive. He's competitive. And
yeah. If you were to say, what do you think is the main strength of his game? Would it be competitiveness, or is that one of a few?
I mean, I personally think, like, I think I've been fortunate to be around a lot of pretty decent players, and I just think his hockey IQ is at a completely different level than most players.
Yeah,
can have discussions with anybody from a 6-year-old in hockey to maybe whoever we think the smartest analytics person is in the game. He can have those conversations and you know, some of it's over my pay scale now, like the conversations he had and the guys he's been lucky enough to be surrounded with. Like if him and Matt Celebrini are at Chipotle, like guaranteed it's they're going back and forth with some hockey things and talking about stuff and pushing each other to make each other better and competing with each other and practice and all of that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, you were saying, like, you texted me there earlier saying there's going to be adjustment, but he's ready for it. Do you think he can make the Canadiens out of training camp next year, or do you figure he'll probably need a year in the AHL?
I mean, again, like Kent and Jeff and everyone that we've dealt with has been so good. And I think they're very conscious of what's going to be best for his development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I think he can? Yeah, I think he can. Say what you want. We watch most of the passionate fan base watches what Montreal does. I watch what everybody is doing, and the Montreal Canadian culture is through the roof. Just from leadership with Suzuki to Caulfield to Mike to Marty to all of them. Like they're just. I mean, you have to be patient with the direction that they're going. But they are trending in the right direction, and they believe in each other. They're super. It's a super group.
Yeah.
So at this point, anyways, you're a Canadiens fan, then. You're safe to say.
I have converted. Yes.
Fantastic. Speaking converted. Of sorry, Grant, if I can cut in real quick here because I wanted to talk about that, right?
Yeah,
so. Patrick Kane was Lane's favorite player growing up. He
was,
and he plays for the Detroit Red Wings. So I mean, that's absurd, right? That's pretty special there.
Yeah, and we're I mean, we got a little something planned for Lane Kaner, which is pretty cool. For
wow,
hopefully later. I mean, he's got this bigger than life-sized banner of Patrick Kane, a Bauer on the moment in his room, and you know, for 10 years he's woken up to that. Mm-hmm. Right. So to say he likes Kaner as a player, that's an understatement.
who doesn't, right? Who doesn't? I grew up a Habs fan, and Patrick Kane, like I'm right there with him. Right there with him. That's a special player there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Slafkovský?
Well, I am really excited for the kid. So I saw him when he was 12 years old at a tournament in Bolzano, Italy, and I tried to get him to come over and play on a team in Canada with us out on the West Coast. I mean, he was really, maybe it was 13. I think he was 13, but he was a heck of a player then. And I think just the culture that I talked about that they worked through with him, I think they couldn't have handled him any better. Mm. And you know, now the problem is I'm a dad. I'm also impatient. Like I want the results like right away. And I think now the results are pretty damn good. And, you know, his 5-on-5 play has went through the roof. This would be a guess because I don't have any of the stats in front of me, but I think he probably creates 6 to 8 chances a game, which in the National Hockey League is exceptional, whether it was him laying the body on a forecheck or whether he picks off a pass or, you know, like his back checking, like he's doing so many of the little intangibles the right way that he was the number one pick, and a lot of people, he is the number one pick, and they made him the number one pick also by the culture that they have, by the players working with him, by Nick saying, hey, put him on my line, by lots of the stuff. So it's really, really, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Speaking of number one picks, you had a chance to see Macklin Celebrini a lot this year. You figure he's the lock as the number one guy.
I mean, a lot of people are going to probably say I'm crazy, but he's automatically the number one pick. Like he could have fell asleep in December.
Yeah.
He's just, it's his 200-foot game. It's the like what hockey people look for are the intangibles of like the small things. He's Sidney Crosby with a better shot at that age, which is very old.
Okay.
Going to be better than Connor Bedard. And
yeah, well, better all around, you know.
Yeah.
And there's things that I know about him that are not the normal person is going to know. Like I know how competitive he is. I know how he handles adversity. I know how what his work ethic is like. I know, you know, how he is as a teammate and what a good human being he is and all the things. Right. And everybody down here was kind of like for the Hobie Baker, they were like, oh, you know, like they're not going to pick a Canadian kid a second year in a row, like let's get prepared for it. It's going to be Cutter, it's going to be Jackson Blake. And I mean, I was like, I wasn't losing sleep over it. I knew it was going to be.
He's going to wear a suit.
He's
going to wear a suit someday.
Yeah, he's going to wear a suit. But like, it's rare that you find the qualities of a hockey player that are that good a human being.
Mm. Wow.
Yep.
That's
Yeah.
That's good.
Listen, all three.
Both of you guys are having a bit of issues there.
I think that's you, Grant.
I hope it doesn't come off like it you're is coming off of my side, but
you're coming in good.
All right, good. So excluding Cole Hudson, you know, who is eligible for the draft this year, your third son, who should let's say the Habs pick sixth overall, who do you think they should take?
Well,
you know this draft class pretty good.
But here's what I'll tell you: I have faith in whoever they're going to pick,
because
there's going to be a good reason why, and some of us might guess or say this or say that. Like if I had to guess, I would. And if Demidov's there, probably Demidov. If I like Iginla. Right, I have a
you do, yeah.
I have a soft spot for hockey pedigree. I would see him. I don't know if it's going to be a defenseman. I don't think so. If it is, that's great, because that's gonna breed some good competition to make the players all better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's no goalies. I think from the standpoint of after you get through, I want to say like eight forwards, it drops off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, they're going to get a good one.
Just in my opinion, I think it's a front loaded draft with defensemen. I think there'll be a lot of D that go in the first round. Yeah. It's hard to say where they'll go, but like things will go based on need. Like I don't see a Montreal Canadiens drafting Cole Hudson because they kind of have that. They're betting on a different piece. But at the same time, I think they also could be taking the best player available.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Rob, if I can ask, sorry, Grant, if I can ask you a bit about last year's pick for the Habs, David Reinbacher, right? Right away when he was picked, and Grant, you were one of the first who was pairing him with Lane, like saying how they complete each other. They'd be a good pairing together. How do you see that, Rob? Do you think that David is a good complement to Lane?
So in full disclosure, I didn't watch David like enough last year for the draft. Like I was really focused on, you know, the USHL and the Ontario and the dub and things like that. But like after it's all said and done, yeah. I think a great pick. So for somebody to play with Lane, I think you know, call it crazy. Like I think Mike is a good pick to play with Lane. I think there's a lot of different opportunities to help each other along, right? And I think they're all. In that culture, I think they're all wanting to help each other. So that's what I'm most excited about.
That's great.
I have ran a lot of scenarios through my head with, you know, who the Canadians might draft. And I don't know, I keep picturing a power play with Lane and Zane Parekh running it at the back end and thinking, ooh, you know, that would be hard to stop. Wow. Those two.
Yeah, and I know, and there's a few guys that I trust in that do a lot of the scouting, where they're at on Parekh and where, you know, he fits. I'm not sure where he could go, because he could go in the top five, or he could slip to 15, depending on how everything plays out.
Well, you know, he has a good Memorial Cup. That won't hurt.
Right. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you go.
No.
Because you still have to play.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, right. We saw where Lane went.
Yeah.
We saw where Lane went. And, you know, it's the same thing with Cole. Where he goes, it doesn't matter nearly as much as how he plays after he's drafted, right? Like, Are you hearing, what are you hearing as far as where you think Cole might be slotted in to be drafted this year?
I mean, do you get the red line report?
Kyle Woodleaf? No, I don't. I don't get it. No,
not that I agree with any of those things. I look at where everybody kind of slots them, but I more look at how his interviews went with the teams and what the need of the team is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two guys that are potential first rounders that do what he does. It's him and Parekh.
Hmm.
So, I love the Hughes family. I love Quinn Hughes. I love what he's doing. I love Sam Girard. I love Spurgeon. I love, like, those guys are opening more doors for undersized defensemen than anybody. Foxy and Makar, like, they're not big guys, right? But they're hockey IQ in what they do. Now, do I see Cole Hutson going to any of those teams? Not one of them. But I do see him going to a team like Calgary, for just say use them as an example, because they have a strong need for that because they're tired of getting their face beat in by news.
Absolutely.
So I think there's things that help and work in his favor. But again, I mean, he's prepared for the best or he's prepared for the worst, and we can't control who wants him or who doesn't. It's just as long as the right team wants him.
You were at the, okay, there he is. Did you go to the semifinal against Denver?
Yeah, I was there. Obviously disappointed.
Okay.
What happened, like, you know, my wife was like, hey, it's all good. And I'm like, yeah, but part of you just, like, I had an idea what was potentially going to happen with Lane. So him and Quinn are extremely close. So I wanted to, like, I just wanted a storybook ending, so to speak. Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, the coaching staff there has done an amazing job. They develop hockey players. They stay true to what they are. And, you know, after a couple of days to let it set in, it's still a little bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one tripping call I missed there was tough when he did the spinorama and he got, you know, that was that might have been a key part of the game right there, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to complain about officials, but we went three games without a power play.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's unbelievable, and it was Big Ten officials doing the game, right? And I actually know one of the guys, and I was like, "Come on, man!" Like, change the outcome, which they did by, you know, I think it was five power plays they gave them.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I thought that one for sure. I don't know how they didn't call it, but I mean, that's hockey, right? You have to fight through adversity, and I thought in overtime that Boston, you really, you know, I thought you were going to end it, and all it takes is one break, right? And it went the other way. But I noticed how distraught Lane was at the end there. And I think, you know, in part, I figure it was because he realized it was his last game with the boys and with his brother, right?
Yeah, 100%, right? Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, the one thing you're going to get from Lane is 1,000% effort, caring about his teammates, caring about his, you know, that becomes his family. And it's just that it's a nice attribute that I'm proud of him for having.
Yeah.
And I noticed, I was looking at your you know, some of the players that you've coached with the U15, U14, U13, you've coached a few different levels in Chicago. One year you had Jack Devine and Sean Behrens on your team, and then must have been a little, you're watching that game, and you're thinking, geez, I wish I hadn't coached them so well back in the day. Yeah.
That's the way it bounces. Like, yeah. Like Lane has a ton of friends at Michigan, a ton of friends at Boston College. Like he's just been able to. Quinn also, like he's got buddies on all the teams. So unfortunately, sometimes you got to play against your friends. But
yeah.
I always tell the boys, like, if I was playing against my mother, I would run her head.
Yeah.
I think that just the competing is always good, because you know it's going to be even more honest.
So, yeah. And it's funny, if I've read it correctly, you've coached three of the four, but you haven't coached Lane. For a season?
No, I coached Lane. I cut Lane from my team when he was a mite.
Oh.
I caught him.
That was smart.
It was smart on my wife didn't like talk to me for, I think, for 3 months, but good with the bad, you know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't take him on the team, but I said, okay, Lane, you can practice with my team. Like, okay. And you know, by that time it was like, you know, I think I had Behrens on the team, and I had Quinn on the team, and Quinn was our best player, and Behrens was our second best player, but by the end of all of it, it was Quinn, and then it was Lane. So
there you go.
Lane got pretty competitive pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it was pretty fun.
I also noticed you coached John Mustard.
I coached Johnny Mustard.
You didn't. Was there any thoughts of cutting him, or
And if his parents are listening or Johnny's listening, I was pretty hard on the kid at times.
Oh, okay.
But he's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking, like you probably said yourself, well, I'm too old to cut the mustard, kid. You know, sorry, I had to get a little pun in there. Yeah,
Johnny challenged me at times. Because I saw how good he was, and
yeah.
I really got on him, and then he just learned how to like go out and play, and he turns over pucks. But there's I don't think there's a better player in the USHL that gets back above the puck after there's a change of possession, and he's going to do some great things. I think some NHL guys are going to be like, you know, what do I do? I still think there's a lot more left in Johnny. So that is going to be, it's going to be interesting what happens with him.
Well, I thought that All-American prospects game, that was kind of his coming out party for a lot of scouts, that they hadn't really, he hadn't really been on the radar up until then. And I thought he was excellent in that game. And, you know, you could see, he's going to be a very good skater, and he's got a great shot. And when you got those two elements to your game, you know, if the rest can come, he's got NHL potential, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And don't forget his compete. He competes. Yeah. He competes hard. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's a couple extra ticks for that.
Yeah. Well, I think he might go in the second round. We'll see, but he certainly got that potential anyways, you know? Yeah. Did you have another question, Chad?
Well, Rob, before the show, you mentioned how there's been, you know, just a ton of media attention towards Lane, and everybody wants to talk to him, wants a piece of him and all that. But It's been like that almost since he was drafted. Like me personally, I remember the day of the second round, right? I'm at work, I'm on my computer, and I texted my dad, text me the picks, please, right? And text me, Habs pick Lane Hutson. Who is this kid? I'm like, I jumped out of my chair, started grabbing the guy next to me. I'm like, we got him. So anyways, I was thrilled, and so were many Habs fans. They still are. But how has Lane dealt with that? Like when we had him on, you know, I asked him that same question, and I just loved his answer. But from your perspective, right, all this attention for a second round pick, it's pretty rare. But I mean, he's earned it, you know.
Well, I mean, I think Lane puts it all kind of in perspective. I think he thinks there's a lot of people that helped him get to where he's at. I think he's thankful for his teammates. He's thankful for a lot of things, but I, my wife says, be humble and be kind. And it's walking a fine line. But I think overall, like he does well in those situations where there's tough questions or anything else. He's the type of guy that will own what he does, and maybe sometimes he's harder on himself than anybody else can be. So I think that helps him deal with certain situations and everything else. So he's doing better at it.
Yeah, that's because Montreal is a pressure cooker, right? Like when things go well, they go very well. When things don't, they really don't. But you know, that's why some players they can't do it. They can't do it in Montreal. And I think Lane will. I think he's got that mentality of like when the lights shine bright, I shine brighter. I could talk about him all day. I'm just excited.
Yeah. I mean, those are all flattering things. And I think, yes, he finds a way to rise to the occasion, and he finds a way to adjust, and finds a way to like, defend differently than other people defend. But there's still so much he's got to work on. And, I knock on wood, and I'm like, listen, let's, if I'm lucky enough, let's have a discussion after he's played 250 games. Right. Because it's not, it is a marathon, and whatever it is. And he may need to play in Laval. Like there, no one knows, but people set expectations, and they say, oh, you know, this, whatever it is, right? And I made the mistake like a couple times. Like I got caught up in what people thought in the social media, and then I was like, listen, this is probably some 12-year-old.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Those things affect me, but you know, you're a human being, and you look at it and you say, he's still a kid. Well, yeah, Lane's still a kid, and there's a lot of kids. Like Slaff is a kid. Cole Coffey.
Exactly. Yeah.
The kid. Like, yeah. Even though we know all these things, you're watching them, but you're watching them grow up, and you can see that they're going 1,000% in the right direction. So we think that the fans in Montreal are exceptionally smart. They know the game. Sometimes they know too much, right? They're like amazing, and they're complimentary. And the only thing that I want is I want to be realistic with expectations, and it's kind of a no-win situation, right? Like he could come out of the gates and score 10 points, like something. I don't think that would ever happen, but I'm just saying that he could have really great games, and people he was supposed to have those games.
Well, yeah.
Right? Or it could be two stinkers, and they could be like, oh, the kid, you know, he's overhyped or whatever. All the stuff that Cole Caulfield went through and everybody has to go through. Yeah. And I think now he's becoming more mature to like handle those situations.
Yeah.
And there's a good group that cares about him. Right. And
exactly. Yeah,
there's going to be lots that are able to help him through all this. And if it wasn't like, listen, he chose to sign in Montreal. If Montreal wasn't a good place and it wasn't a good fit, as bad as this sounds, as a dad, I'd be like, let's play it out, become a free agent.
Yeah. And you'll
sign a contract anywhere you want. Right.
Well,
but the fact is Montreal is a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Speaking of, signing a contract, Luke Tuck, we've been waiting. Do you think he's going to sign with Montreal?
I hope Tucky does. I think he's this season. He was a really good.
Yes.
Leader. I think he played a heavy game. I think there's a need for players like Tucky. I think he deserves an opportunity.
Yeah. But
I mean, again, I'm not paid enough to know the answer on that one.
Yeah. I thought, at least in the first two periods for sure, I thought he was best forward in that Denver game. He had a heck of a game,
and I don't want to go back to a certain time, but he was a completely different player this year. And I don't like to talk about other boys or anything else, but when he went to the world championships last year, and I think he played one or two games, but he got to be around like his older brother, Alex, who's just an unbelievable pro. And the whole group that my son also got to be around. You can learn a lot in those situations, and it's not just about hockey. It's about the preparation that it takes.
Maturity. Yeah.
The decision making on and off the ice and
how
you handle yourself when you're scratched or not playing. Right.
Right.
There's a lot to be said for it. And that group that they put together last year for Worlds was really good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, he went to development camp and Shane and I attended it. And even at camp, at development camp, you could see the difference in his game because he stood out at that point. And I thought, geez, they should sign him. And they didn't. He did need another year of college. But now, if he decides, well, I don't want to sign with Montreal, I want to go play with my brother in Buffalo, and there's rumors that that's maybe the way he's leaning, then Montreal doesn't get a player that I agree that I think they need more of a big, like he brings size and physical dimension to the bottom lines down the road if they do sign him. So I hope he does, but the longer it goes on without him signing, I was sort of hoping to be a double whammy, two of them signing at the same time.
Yeah, we would have liked it.
Yeah. We won't take much more of your time. Just want to go give people a bit of a rundown on your background. You're a Northern Manitoba boy. What was it like growing up in Bozeman, Manitoba?
It was unique. Bozeman and I was only there till I was like five or so. I was actually in a town a little bit north of there, Birch River. I started there, and then my parents, we moved out to Edmonton, so we kind of finished up out there. But there's been a few guys that have come out of that area that have done okay in hockey and in life. And, shout out to Ryan Anderson down in Austin, Texas, if he's watching.
Okay. Right on.
By people. So, you can you can get to know everybody.
Yeah. How did a boy from Manitoba, well, I guess you're Edmonton then at the time, but you end up playing in Washington State in the BCHL. How did that, for Bellingham, how did that come about?
Well, you know what, Bellingham was just, it was a great experience. It was a good, I was playing in the Alberta Junior Hockey League.
Okay.
And you know, I had Ken Hitchcock was coaching at the time.
Oh, okay. And
that was my, when I was 14, I think I had Hitch as a coach and he cut me at Christmas. I didn't like him then, but I liked him because I learned what it did for me. Right. So it helped me along in my hockey career, but I ended up playing for a guy out in Bellingham who to this day, you know, we have a little text thread where the coach is on it. Mike Collins was coaching out there. And then a bunch of the guys, like, we all keep in touch and,
okay.
You know, even more specifically yesterday that, you know, the congrats text coming in from all of them. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. And it's a small world too. I was looking at your rosters there and you played with, Philly's assistant GM who I know pretty well, Brent Flair.
Flairzy and I still talk and he, you know, okay. He's always chirping me.
Yeah. I was looking at the 2022 draft and I was going to say, did you roast him for not picking Lane in the second round, but they didn't have a second round pick. So he's off the hook with that, I guess. Right.
Yeah, no, he's, he's good. And we get to have a couple beverages whenever.
Oh, yeah.
It's always good to catch up with Flairzy and Grant, as you know, the group of guys that he runs around with are all great guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fun and educational. It's not not really work, right?
No.
Because you get to talk about hockey. You get to talk about things. But when we get time, when I get time with Flairzy, it's like, hey, how's your wife? How's things going? Are you enjoying Philly? Like, there's also that additional aspect to it. So
yeah.
Hockey's been pretty good to me. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like I say, it's a small world. I got to know Flairzy through the Murrays in Shawville, who I'm from Shawville, Quebec, and Brian Murray and Tim Murray from there. And, you know, they brought Brent along, hired him as a scout and kind of went with them all the way up. And he's really good friends with Tim and that. So I got to know Brett pretty well. But I thought, you know, it's just the hockey world is such a small, there's connections every which way, you know, where it which is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah. And it's a culture in itself because there's like the loyalty there with your guys, right?
Yeah.
I think Flairzy started in Florida.
Yes.
He might have been like a video coach.
Yeah.
Right. So talk
then
about
Anaheim.
He's got a Princeton degree.
Yeah.
He chooses to be an NHL video coach just to get his foot in the door.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, it's been 22, oh. I think.
Yeah.
Since he worked in Florida. So
he's
done great and been around a lot of knowledgeable guys and you know, he's a good resource once in a while for me.
Oh, yeah. Brian brought him to Anaheim and Chuck Fletcher and Timmy Murray was there and Todd Hardy and they all, you know, I mean, there's such a – Brian left such a legacy of players that scouts and management and players that he, you know, brought through. It was just amazing. And it's neat to see so many of them succeeding. And I was looking at you. You went to the University of Illinois to play, yep. Chicago. You had a heck of a freshman year there. You, I don't know if we have the goal stats there, but look at the guy right out. Look who he outscored there, 24-25 goals. Look at number 25. You can always boast that you scored more goals than Paul Kariya in your freshman year. that's quite a feat.
Yeah, well, Paul was a pass first guy, and
yeah. 75.
Yeah, he had a couple more assists than you there.
I was passing nobody.
There you go. Yeah,
those were probably all off of rebounds.
yeah, and then Quinn. So Quinn took out after the old man, became a right winger too, or is that how that worked, or what?
Actually, all the boys started as defensemen, just because I had this theory that I wanted them to see the ice and learn how to like keep everything in front of you, know that there's players ahead of you, how to head man, how to move the puck, you know, a lot of the simple things. And then early on, we needed scoring desperately on one of our Chicago Mission teams. So yeah, we moved Quinn from defense to forward. And, you know, there's days that I regret it a little bit because it's like, I know he has those capabilities in him, but sometimes late. Just because of that.
So you have four boys that are, I mean, how'd Lars do this year?
You know what? Lars had Lars' team, everybody got a lot better. We covered a lot of ground. I'm actually doing like a there's a statewide camp where I go and evaluate. So I've been watching the kids, early this morning, and then I go back here this afternoon to watch them. And like all the kids on his team really shot up. So that's the key. And, you know, it was a great year. I coached with a guy named Brian Seary, and then I had Chris and Peter Ferraro with me, the two Ferraro twins. So we had a lot of guys that are ultra competitive. And that carried on to the kids. So it's good that we're seeing some results from that.
Yeah. You've coached Evan Ferraro. Is that one of the twins' sons?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And, I mean, you've got four great hockey players. I don't know if you ever think a few years back, geez, you know, we should have a few more kids here and see if we can best the Sutters.
Well, my wife is different, but like, you know, she gets tired of being on the toilet seat and, you know, all that stuff. So she, in fairness to her, she's done a good job raising five kids.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tend to mention just the hockey players that we know about. That's on me. But now you went to the World Juniors. You got to see the winning the championship there. That must have been a thrill to be able to attend that.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was it was a great experience. I think it was a different challenge specifically for Lane. Like they really relied on him, like penalty killing. They relied on him in the 5-on-5 situations. I mean, he got more than enough ice time, but he adjusted well to the role to make sure that the team was going to win, or doing everything he could to make sure it was going to win. So I was happy with his growth in that tournament. And that's not an easy tournament. Like everybody's playing hard, everybody's playing heavy. And I know Team Canada took a lot of shots because, did they send their best players or this or that? Like it wasn't an easy environment for them just to walk into. There was some good hockey players there.
Yeah. And how did Julie react to the big scrap with the big Swede there?
I mean, we've seen more. There's been more household violence than there was in that one, but it, you know, it was, I kind of call it however you want. Like Lane is Lane, Quinn, Cole, Lars. They don't really have a lot of back down in them, and that's and that's a good quality, a good trait.
Absolutely.
We've taken up all of your time here, and we really appreciate you coming on. And you have to be ultra excited about getting to see Lane play his first NHL game.
Mm-hmm. Listen, we as a family are, and we couldn't be more thankful. Like when you reached out, it was an easy one because you've been a huge supporter for Lane, and you know, I just want to tell you, it's greatly appreciated. Cause you probably hear all the, you know, all the negative stuff, but, just know, I think like you guys are part of, you know, his journey now, like you've helped with it. And the thing that makes it like really super special is it's happened this way, right? It wasn't supposed to happen. Like 20 years ago, it wouldn't have happened. He would have been heading overseas to play, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the game's growing differently for the right reasons. And everybody's going to have to be able to play regardless of size. You're going to have to be able to play the game. You know, you just can't go out there and take up oxygen. You got to contribute in one way, shape, or form.
That's it. Wow. Well, Grant, I don't know if you had any questions, but I think we'll let Rob enjoy his day and I mean, enjoy this week. It's going to be very special, and you know, we wish all the best to yourself and whole Hudson family, and obviously Lane, very excited to see him don the bleu blanc rouge. It's going to be special.
It's great. Guys, thanks again for having me.
All right.
Go Habs, go.
Yes. All right. Rob Hudson, everybody. Fantastic, fantastic show. Wow. That's you see the apple didn't fall far from the tree. I mean, if anybody who's watching hasn't seen our Lane interview, please do so. Go check it out. It was well worth your time, trust me. But man, this was fantastic, Grant.
Yeah, those were very kind words. I had a dog bark and I went on mute, or I just said thank you while he was saying that. But you know, very nice to hear that from a father of an NHLer.
Absolutely, yeah, he is now. He is. We can say that NHLer Lane Hudson. So that'll be all for us today, but we'll be back later this week for our regular show. We thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a like, and go check out recruits.ca for all your NHL draft and Habs news. Anything you would want, it's all on there. Grant, thank you as always. Thank you to Rob Hudson. We'll see you in the next one. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.